Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. Merry Christmas. This is our first recap for Hallmark and Hallmark Channel and Hallmark Movies and Mysteries for Countdown to Christmas, Miracles of Christmas. So exciting for 2020. And I'm film critic Rachel Wagner. And today, Anne is here.
Hey, everybody.
And we have our special guest, Ruth Hill, is here.
Hey, glad to be back.
Yay. We're so excited to have you. So maybe we'd be one of the first to wish you Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Merry Christmas to both of you as well.
Yes. So how have you been? I'm trying to remember when was the last time we had you on. It was a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. But have you had a pretty eventful summer since we last spoke?
I have had an extremely eventful summer. And, you know, and now I'm kind of on, I mean, I'm not officially working for Hallmark, but I'm working for a Hallmark actor. So I don't know if that counts, it's kept, Paul Green has kept me extremely busy and it's been a good thing. And, sadly, he doesn't have any Christmas movies to promote, but that's okay. That's okay.
Yeah, still keeps you busy, though.
He does. Sure. Yeah, he does. Yeah.
That's great. We're so happy for you.
Well, thanks.
And we have Christmas season. Yeah. Can you believe they pulled off 40 movies? I mean, I know they're still in the works, but can you believe it?
I cannot believe it. It is amazing. That's been every interview I've had. That's what we're always talking about. How did they do 40 Christmas movies? We have no idea.
I mean, can you believe it, Anne?
No, I can. I'm so amazed. Truly amazed.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I think they might really be run by Santa. That's my new theory. Well, so we started it off this last weekend and with two movies on both channels, on each of the channels. And Anne, what do you think? Do you think overall it was a pretty good start?
Oh yeah, I think it was a great start.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah. What do you think, Ruth?
Oh, absolutely. And I just want to say, I love the fact that the movies are not competing against each other now. I love the fact that you're going from the Hallmark Channel, and then after that one's over, you can jump over to Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. I love that. I love that they came up with that schedule this year. I do. I don't know if anybody else does, but I appreciate it.
It's just tough for our East Coast friends. I wish there was a way they could start it earlier for them or something.
I know. Yes. Yes. I would agree with you on that.
Yeah. 10 o'clock is a little, pretty late to start a movie.
Yeah. True.
Yeah. Yeah. But that's better than... as far as at least for Twitter alone, it is much better
than
to have the Twitters at the exact same time.
I
actually thought it was a pretty good start for Christmas movies all around. We had our off network episode, me and Dory. We covered the Lifetime films and they were pretty good too.
So I
don't know if it's just a time of trial makes you all the more work all the more harder, or if it's that I am so in need of nourishment that I'm enjoying it more. I don't know, probably a combination of
probably,
the two.
Probably.
So all right, well, let's dive in. We've got four movies to talk about, and we're going to start with Jingle Bell Bride. And this stars Julie Gonzalo and Ronnie Rowe and Donna Benedicto. And this is directed by Alan Harmon and written by Marcy Holland, who we love Marcy. And the synopsis on Hallmark website was, a wedding planner ends up in a remote Alaskan town and falls in love with its Christmas pageantry, as well as the local man helping her find a rare flower. So overall, Anne, what was your overall feelings about this film?
I really liked it. I appreciated the interracial couple. I thought that the movie was done well. I liked Ronnie Rowe and Julian Gonzalo together. I thought they had good chemistry. And I thought it was a really nice start to this season. I was like, oh, this is hopeful. You know, this is what we want.
Yeah. What do you think, Ruth?
Oh, I'm in full agreement with that. And it was great seeing Donna Benedicta. That was great. Her character was it was nice to see her getting to play a role that was very memorable, and I liked the interracial couple as well. And I really liked Julia Gonzalo in this role. You know, not that I don't ever like her, because for the most part, I think I've liked just about everything she's ever done as far as for Hallmark. But I thought this was a really fun role for her. And so for me, it was a great way to kick off the season for Countdown to Christmas, I think.
Yeah, I'd agree. I really enjoyed it as well. I thought it was a very sweet, fun little movie. I like these ones where they kind of get stuck in a small town, or whether it's Matchmaker Santa or something like Christmas Under Wraps, where she's also in Alaska, but it's more of a job, but still, I know that whole kind of thing is almost always really charming. I like the one with I think it's Love You Like Christmas with Brendan Elliott and Bonnie Somerville. Yeah. That one's really fun. Mm-hmm. They get kind of stuck in this small town. It's almost always a dynamic that works well for these kind of movies. Yeah. And I enjoyed this. I thought that there was a nice chemistry between Ronnie and Julie. Mm-hmm. I thought they did well together. And yeah, he was refreshing. Yeah. He was funny. Mm-hmm. He was charming. Mm-hmm. It was a good find, I think, and hopefully we'll to use him again. He was a really fun person to interview. But I felt like he was just something a little bit different, just in his kind of personality and delivery, had more of a comedic timing than maybe we typically get on Hallmark Channel. And so I liked him a lot. He was really good.
Yeah.
The one thing I wondered about with Donna's character, I don't know, what do you think, Anne? Do you think that she was diva enough? She's supposed to be this like Mariah Carey kind of celebrity, but she was pretty nice.
If they were going for super diva, then I don't think they did that, but because she did seem pretty, for someone like that, I mean, at least you would think she was really nice. I did appreciate that they let her sing for about 20 seconds. That was nice. Because I remember she said, oh, I have a tiny, you know, singing thing, and I was like, oh, there it is, and she sounded great. But yeah, I didn't think she was like super diva or anything.
Yeah. And even the ending bouquet that she brings was pretty small. Like I was expecting it to be a little more over the top, but it might have been fun to have. I don't know. Both ways. It depends on how they do it. Because if you make her super diva, then it can be irritating.
Yeah.
But it could also be funny depending on how it's done. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think, Ruth?
Well, I would say with it being the kickoff to Hallmark's Countdown to Christmas, they probably didn't want to go too far with her being the diva. That would just be my opinion. I thought she was diva enough for typical Hallmark, shall I say. You know, I think this is one of those years where I really think Hallmark is stepping out and doing a lot of different things to see what works. And so sometimes it's nice not to have them go too far in all the movies. And so maybe they thought, I don't know what the thinking was, but maybe they thought, let's not have her too far out. You know, she's got a little bit of the diva, but she's not too far. And then if people are okay with that, maybe next time we'll go further. I don't know if that's, because that's one of the things you have to remember, is this is Hallmark. You know, on Lifetime sometimes they can easily go a little further, but that's what I would think. I was honestly fine with her being as she is, but maybe it's just because I was like, that's Donna and I know her, and maybe that's why. I don't know.
Yeah. We love her.
Yeah.
She's the best.
Yeah.
She's still easy top five interviews I've ever done.
Yeah.
She was so funny and so great. And I did find out, I did a little research, that the Jingle Bell flower is a real thing.
Mm.
It's called an upright fuchsia, according to my research. I'm not a botanist, so don't hold me to that, but that's what I found.
Yeah.
But the only thing that it seemed like from what I was reading, that it's not actually very rare. Like, they're all over the place.
Okay.
That's the part that's I kind of like the idea that there would be this flower that, because Alaska has all kinds of weird growing things, because they have like a really intense season that's very fertile, and then of course it's like super wintry. I don't know. What do you think, Anne, as far as their ability to kind of create Alaska, their fake Alaska? What do you think?
I mean, I've seen fake Alaska done better. I thought it was okay. I don't know if they totally sold me that it was Alaska, but I thought it was pretty good.
Again, they had like the Northern Lights and other things like that.
Yeah.
What do you think about that, Ruth?
I that was probably my only real complaint, is I didn't really think it felt like Alaska. And and then when she comes out wearing a sleeveless dress, or like, I was like, what? This is Alaska. And I can let that go. I mean, it didn't ruin the film for me, because I know that this happens a lot, even on non-COVID years. It happens a lot that they say, well, this is such and such place, and you know there's no way it could be that place.
Yeah.
And so I can forgive that. That's a minor thing. But no, I didn't think it felt much like Alaska.
Yeah, in the canon of Vancouver pretending to be Alaska, or sometimes Utah pretending to be Alaska.
Yes. Yeah.
It probably wasn't the most convincing, but I've also seen worse. It was right in the middle, I would say.
Yeah.
The one thing that I thought was funny is that I would be super irritated if I lived in this little town in Alaska and some newcomer who was just there for the weekend won the Jingle Bell Princess prize.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like I live here. I put up with this small town. And then here this person comes in. And she's the princess? What?
Yeah. Yeah.
That might be a little upsetting. But yeah, she wins the Jingle Bell Christmas Princess.
Yeah. Yeah.
What were you going to say, Anne?
I thought it was nice the way it looked. It wasn't like too looking, it was kind of nice. It looked really good on Julie Gonzalez. She looked amazing.
Yeah.
Yes, I will agree with you on that. Yeah.
What do you think of Aunt Mary, Ruth? Did you like her?
Oh yeah, definitely. I liked all the cast, really. I don't think there was anyone that I thought it was all really well done. Yeah.
Yeah, for a town with only 112 people, she is ready to go with that guest room.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. You have a point there. Yeah.
She was really, I thought she was cute.
She was.
You want the sort of the busybody.
Yes.
Matchmaker, you know, aunt kind of character. Super fun.
Oh yeah.
I also loved, I mean, I'm a sucker for a dancing scene, but I loved the dancing scene.
Yes, I agree.
I would have preferred her not have her phone so that she didn't get interrupted, but it was still, I love that. I liked that scene a lot. It was Silent Night with the banjo.
Yes.
So I liked that, because sometimes the musical arrangements are a little much. They try to make these Christmas songs, they're it's either like a super generic Christmas song where you're like, what is this song? Like, I've never heard of this carol in my life. Or it's like they try to kind of make a traditional Christmas song like a little bit romantic, and it ends up being like, what? Yeah. But this, I liked. I thought it was nice.
Yes.
And they had good chemistry, so
yes, they did.
So that was good. Mm-hmm. And what did you think, Anne, as far as how they handled her job and her work kind of thing, where she's trying to get this promotion. She wants to go to London. And now she just keeps getting delayed there in Alaska.
Yeah. I thought it was kind of like really messed up that her boss was like at the end, gonna just give this job to somebody else. It's like, you said she had to get this flower for her, and that's what she's trying to do. And you're just like, okay, well, you didn't come through, so we're just going to give it to somebody else. And
she's
going to come out tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I feel like there was probably a middle ground where you could still give her most of the credit, you know, for planning the wedding, and yet have somebody there day of, considering the circumstances, you know what I mean? That kind of to execute her vision.
Yeah.
You could have somebody without being like, you're done. Mm-hmm. You get no credit for anything.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I did like that and this is something I've been seeing more the last probably 2 years, if I feel like, in Hallmark, that it was never a question that she was going to give up her career and for this new man, for this new life. And because one of the, for a long time, that was a thing that you'd see all the time in Hallmark movies. And I remember particularly one that drove me crazy was 'Tis the Season of Love, which is a good movie.
Yeah.
Except for I hated the ending because she finally got her chance to be in this Broadway play and she gives it up to be for this new relationship. It's like, why couldn't she have done both?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I like the fact that now we've kind of moved away from that and she is doing both and she is finding a way to do both. And I think that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that too.
I do too.
Yeah. So what did you think of the ending with him showing up there at the, to be your date for the, and him, he's going to finish up his PhD, all of that. Did you, Ruth, did you like the ending?
Well, it was, well, I think that was a typical Hallmark ending. I mean, I don't think except like, you know, thankfully she wasn't giving up her job, which is always nice. Because we did get tired, as exactly what you were saying. We got tired sometimes of seeing the women are always giving up their jobs for the guys. It's like, stop doing that. But it was sweet. I mean, I thought it was kind of sweet. I mean, I found it a sweet ending. It was Hallmark. It was sweet. It was the first movie to kick everything off. So I thought that was the way that it should be.
Yeah. Do you like the ending, Anne?
Yeah, I did. I was kind of like, okay, what's going to happen with this ending? And I'm like, okay, he's got to go. So then he's there and, you know, she did, you know, we see him first and then she will see him around and it's a big moment. And one thing I just wanted to mention is that I really appreciated that Julie's character was Hispanic and that they allowed her to speak a little bit of Spanish.
You're right. Yes.
You know, she actually is Hispanic and she said she's never got to actually be a Hispanic character on Hallmark. So that was really nice.
I agree with you. Yeah.
That was really nice. Also, the fact that she kind of realized that her work had taken her away from her family and that she wanted to be more involved in her family, which I liked that too, because that's something I could definitely relate with because when I was on lockdown for 3 months where I literally saw no other humans except for my roommate every now and then. It made me realize how much I valued spending time with my parents and my only family that lived by me, but I missed them so much. And it was kind of it made me realize all those times that I had said, oh, and no, I'm not going to, I'm going to pick working because I work a lot. That it just made it more of a priority to me that I need to take time to have movie nights with my parents. I need to take time to have go to dinner with my parents. All those things that you think, oh, well, I'll just do it later. And I liked kind of that she realized that she needed to spend more time with her family. That was a nice thing with her and her sister.
Yes.
Yeah, that's nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I also enjoyed Maddie Finocchio.
Yes.
In the supporting role there. He was fun as a pilot. He was.
Yes.
I liked him. And so overall, I enjoyed it. I mean, there are like little things that like, would she really not bring a phone charger? this incredible woman. A businesswoman, she would bring a phone charger plus several backup batteries. So there were little things like that that were a little silly, but for the most part, I thought it was really sweet and I enjoyed it and I liked the pairing. And you know, they had a fun festival and I thought they did a pretty good job, again considering COVID, making the festival feel like a festival. And because they have to space everybody and try to, you know, do all that works. And so, yeah, I would give this one 3.5 crowns out of 5. What about you, Anne?
I said 4.25. Pretty strong.
Wow. What do you think, Ruth?
I said 3.25.
Okay. Good. Okay. So then we have Christmas Tree Lane, Alicia Witt and Andrew Walker. This is on Hallmark Mysteries. And this is a music store owner, Meg, spearheads community efforts to save her street from demolition. She's shocked to find out that the man she's falling for is actually working for the company Meg's fighting. So overall, Ruth, what did you think overall of this film?
Oh, well, this movie, of course, I absolutely, absolutely love this movie. It was I already knew that going into it, but I mean, I remember when this movie was getting filmed. I happened to hear about it before it was public knowledge. So I would, and I couldn't believe, I mean, it was, man. That they even filmed this one. I mean, it being one of the very first, like, one of the very first ones back. I mean, that just blew my mind.
I mean, it definitely was the first thing to get filming again here in Utah.
Yes. Yes.
But I think it was one of the first things back in the whole state.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yes. I think you're right. I could not believe it. When I got this message from Andrew saying he's filming a movie, I'm like thinking, what? You're filming a Christmas movie? What? And I'm just like, what? Yeah. And I was sitting there thinking, how on earth is that happening? But
Anne, what do you think of it overall?
I really, really enjoyed it, and a lot of people know I do love Andrew Walker a lot, so I was hoping to enjoy it, but Headspace was a little bit messed up because I was like, I really don't know about this pairing with Alicia. I'm not sure. And then it was a save the plot, so. But it won me over. I thought it was a very, very sweet movie.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it too. And I had my skepticism because I really love Andrew as a person. I haven't loved all of his projects that he's taken. He's been a bit hit miss for me. And I wasn't sure about this pairing. I thought it was an interesting choice. And so I wasn't sure how it would work. And it turns out, I really liked them together a lot.
Yes.
I thought that they did very well together. They both, I think, brought out each other's sort of comedic timing. Yes. They were charming together. And I thought that the movie did a good job of subverting our expectations as far as a man of business. Because we expect, even when the man of business becomes reformed, which is a typical thing that we see sometimes, typically he starts out as a bad man of business. But that wasn't the case here. With Andrew Walker's character, he was, if anything, the more sort of eccentric and jubilant and lighthearted of the two.
Right.
And so it wasn't like a Scrooge narrative where he has to kind of learn. He's like putting extra sprinkles on his latte.
I know.
And
I love that. Yeah. And
so if anything, he was the one that that we kind of had to help her a little bit more. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so then you have the save the street kind of narrative, which isn't my favorite, but because there was a little bit of subversion going on, mm-hmm. I was fine with it.
Yeah.
And so I think that that helped a lot. There was a boyish quality to him in this movie that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And so also we'll talk about towards the end, but also even like his compromise towards the end was, mm-hmm. was unique. It wasn't mm-hmm. your typical mm-hmm. bad man of business.
Yep.
And, I felt like Andrew's character seemed like a character that was a lot younger than he is in real mm-hmm. life.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Would you agree with that? Because I don't know, there was just something youthful about him.
Yeah. He was so like joyous and like happy and like full of mm-hmm. ideas and ready to just tackle the problems. And even the way he looked younger, I feel like.
He did, then. Yeah. He did, and yeah.
Mm-hmm. Rich Sweet Autumn, I guess, is kind of stark contrast to what happened the week before. But he didn't, you know, he's clean shaven. He just had a more...
Yeah, definitely. What do you think of the music in the movie and how they handled that? Even from, you have Alicia with these records, and it's almost like a calming thing, like mm-hmm. her listening to these records. I'm like, mm-hmm. oh, it makes me want to get a record player.
No, yeah, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah. Oh, I love the fact that Hallmark has these movies now that have more music, and I think I'm so glad that Alicia finally gets to sing and have her music in, because that wasn't always the case. And mm-hmm. I'm so glad that they make that a part of the story. I really enjoyed all the music stuff in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Did you like that, Anne, with her and the records?
Yeah, I did. I liked the, mm-hmm. the, you know, just the store and the record aspect. And mm-hmm. I really loved that scene when they were, Andrew yeah. and her were in that room. Oh my gosh, that was magical.
Mm-hmm.
I loved
that. That was really good.
Mystery wise, the way the room decor was, I was just like, mm-hmm. oh my gosh, so beautiful. Yeah. It was nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
I also loved the scene where he's just outside listening to that guy play the saxophone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
to me that was like an unusual instrument choice.
Yes,
and I don't know, there was just something kind of escapism about it, something mm-hmm. magical about it. That, oh, it's like mm-hmm. he's just sitting there trying to figure out all these problems, yeah. listening to this guy play.
Yeah,
his saxophone. That was nice.
Yeah.
And what did you think of the? I called her the crazy lawyer lady.
Oh, yeah, I don't know. Just like, pops up like twice, and then she's like, okay, and now I'm gonna kill you. And I'm like, okay, we've seen you like one time, and then here she comes back again.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I appreciated she wasn't like typical ex type, like trying to get him back and trying to, yeah. you know, all this True. Stuff. That was nice. And it just save us from that.
Yeah.
She was fine, I guess.
She made me laugh. Like, she's like talking, and she says, I almost won the eminent domain lawsuit against your father. Did he mention it? Like, that's just like little chit chat. I mean,
right, right.
Made me laugh. Yeah. And we do get a number of scenes of Alicia singing, and I thought she did a really good job.
Oh yeah,
because sometimes when you have these hall stars singing, mm-hmm. bless their hearts, it can be a little bit like they're auditioning for their next album, mm-hmm. and it can just not feel all that authentic. They're trying too hard. Whereas I felt like Alicia did a good job of just singing like a normal human sings.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought she did. I thought it was nice. I thought she has a pretty voice.
Yes.
And I thought the songs were nice. They're, you know, her song.
Yes.
And so I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
And
And she plays the piano. I love that she plays the piano too. Anyway, I love that because that is not always typical in these movies. Right. They'll have somebody who will come in and pretend, you know, it's like they have to pretend to play and then but with Alicia, it's like, she's doing it all. It's like, that's great.
Yeah.
Agreed. And so then we have the solution, the big solution that Andrew Walker's character presents to the board and everybody, that that they are going to combine the new with the old and create this new Christmas Tree Lane.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a nice compromise and something you don't always see in these, save the so that was nice. There were a couple of little things that were like, the whole scene with them ice skating, I mean, it looked like such a plastic rink. It was like, you're not fooling anybody anymore. you know, a few little things. But I thought that those, I think they were called kolaches, those pastries, looked so yummy. I was like, I need to go wherever they found those in Utah, and I need to find them. They look really good. So there we go. That was basically the movie. I like that they said to Alicia about Alicia's character, you make family everywhere you go. I thought that was a nice moment and a message of the, is making not just your family you're born into, but the family on your street, your neighbors, your friends who you choose to associate with, that can be a family too. It was a nice message.
It was.
So Anne, out of 5, how many crowns did you give Christmas Tree Lane?
I think that this weekend I'm being overzealous because of this whole year. So just bear with me, but I just feel like super like zealed up. So this movie really just charmed me. I thought Andrew and Alicia were so great and the refreshingness of it. And he didn't know he was the bad guy till like an hour into the movie. It was so great. I just loved it. So I'm saying a 4.5. I know that's very high. Like, I think I'm just kind of really feeling this beginning. But yeah.
Yeah. Great. Great. What would you give it, Ruth?
Yeah. So I'm, and this is not just because I like Andrew so much, because I also like Alicia and I like, and I will be honest, I even commented about this. I loved their kiss at the end. I thought that was I thought it was really great. And I don't usually notice that. I really do not usually even comment on that. I mean, other people might, but I actually commented on it. So at this point, I realize it might change once I see other movies. I might, but for right now, I would give it a 5 just because I loved it that much.
Great. Okay. So I will give it, I'm about the same on both of those first two movies. I enjoyed both of them quite a bit. I'm giving both 3.5.
Okay.
All right.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level. The who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
So then we have Chateau Christmas. So this film stars Luke McFarlane and Merritt Patterson, and it is directed by Michael Robinson, who's mm-hmm. done a bunch. Mm-hmm. And Nicole Baxter is the writer, who's also done a bunch of Hallmark movies. Mm-hmm. And so this is Margot, a world-renowned pianist, returns to Chateau Neuhaus to spend the holidays with her family and rediscover her passion for music. While there, her ex-boyfriend and former bandmate Jackson convinces her to headline the annual Christmas concert, and working together brings back all, brings back. So this one for me, I feel I'm having a hard time with it a little bit because mm-hmm. I enjoyed it. It's perfectly fine, mm-hmm. perfectly pleasant. I'd watch it again and be fine. But I'm struck, I guess I'm fighting between one side of me that enjoyed the escapism mm-hmm. of seeing this concert come together. Mm-hmm. But then there's also a side of me that found that kind of painful because the arts are kind of not happening right now.
Oh.
And it was sort of hard for me. It kind of hurt my heart a little bit mm-hmm. because I miss it so much. And I mean, this is going to be the first year that I won't go to the Messiah singing. I won't hear the symphony. This, mm-hmm. I won't go to Christmas Carol live and see it on stage like I do every year. My whole adult life, I've done that. So I'm kind of grieving mm. those missed experiences. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so watching this movie, on one hand, I liked it because it kind of gave me that. On the other hand, it was kind of hard to watch it. I don't know. And I think that's something I'm just going to have to get over to watch these movies. But since this was the first weekend, it was kind of my first time wrestling with that. Mm-hmm. But I also, I mean, the event planning movie is not my favorite. Mm. So there were a couple parts where I thought it was a little dry and I kind of was a little bored, but I overall still thought it was sweet and had some nice moments. Mm-hmm. And I really liked anything to do with the quartet reforming was, I think, mm-hmm. the best part of
that
the film.
Was the best part, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So overall, I liked it, but that was just my, I guess, struggle. But I don't know. What did you think, Anne, about this one overall?
I struggled with this one. As I said on the preview, it's hard for me to connect with musical instrument movies because I really stank at playing the violin and I hated it. I'm kind of scarred, so I can never connect it or appreciate the beauty of good instrument, good musicians. With instruments, at least, I appreciate singing a lot. So it's just hard for me to connect, and I wasn't feeling the chemistry either. So it just, I don't know, it was kind of just really middle of the road, not too special to me.
Yeah. I think you could feel the age difference between the two a little bit as far as their chemistry. I mean, he's 10 years older than Luke McFarlane's 10 years older than Mary Patterson. I think you could feel it a little bit. But what did you think, Ruth, overall of this one?
I mean, I felt this one was maybe I enjoyed it because of the musical elements, because I always enjoy. I mean, I took piano lessons for years, so I always love anything having to do with that. I mean, I hear what you're saying about the concerts and stuff. I mm-hmm. guess, yeah, it's hard. It's hard that those are not available to us. But I guess it just didn't bother me as that that element didn't really bother me. I can see where you're coming from though with that. I totally, as I was listening to what you were saying, I was saying, okay, I can see where you're coming from that. I thought it was a really an interesting pairing. I thought that
do you think they had chemistry?
Chemistry is one of those things that I really struggle with judging, because I will usually say people have chemistry and like nobody else agrees with me. And because I look at it differently, when people say chemistry, that it depends on what you're seeing. You know, what if you see it there are those who have more of a friendship chemistry and then it grows into love. And then there are those that have the definite sex appeal and, you know, and or the fireworks. And so, I mean, this probably was not, if you're looking for hot and heavy chemistry, I don't think it necessarily existed between them as far as that goes. I mean, it wasn't really super, but I thought it was fun. I thought it was fun chemistry, but that's just what I saw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And they were okay for me. They had some cute scenes. Yeah. I liked the scene where they're by the fire mm-hmm. and outside and they get like a cute little hand holding, like sneaky kind of hand holding thing. I was yeah. like those. Kinds
yes.
of
that
scenes.
Was fun. Mm-hmm.
That was cute. And, you know, just their encouragement of each other was mm-hmm. nice.
Yes.
I my favorite part was definitely, like I said, anything to do with this quartet.
Yes.
With
yes.
Sam and Sarah.
Yes.
Reconnecting. I thought those actors did a really good job yes. with that.
Yes.
And,
I love that scene.
Yeah. I was definitely very surprised to see Jesse Hutch in this movie.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen that in any of the promos or anything. Right. And for him to be taking this supporting role was yeah. just interesting and surprising. And
yes, I was surprised too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was unexpected
yeah.
Yeah.
To have coming. And also, it was interesting to me as a film critic to kind of this plot line of this critic.
Yes. And yes, yes, yes. That was interesting. Yes, I liked that.
Yeah.
I really liked that particular storyline. I found interesting because you think that she's this really mean, you get the perception because you don't know the whole story, you don't know what her, you haven't met her, and you got this whole idea of, oh, she's being really mean and critical and she just doesn't like her and blah 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 blah. And then you find out it's more that she knew what this pianist, what she was capable of. She could see her potential and she wanted to yeah. instead push her to, and then finally it's like, yeah, this is what you were supposed to be doing. And I liked that coming in, I guess, because I could really relate to that, because personally that's what's been going on with me this year is I've been having well, I could just say that my current employer does that with me a lot, Paul Green. He does that with me a whole lot of seeing my potential, encouraging me, and it's like and challenging me to go further than I thought I could.
Yeah.
And so that's, I really liked that. That was kind of a neat little small subplot, I know, in many ways, but I thought I thought it was fun. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah. And I just, as a critic, I always try to remember that, I don't know, it's a fine line that you walk between doing your job as a critic and critiquing what it is that you're there to critique, right?
Mm-hmm, right.
And because, yeah, we want, whether it's I'm critiquing Hallmark or critiquing Disney or whatever right. it might be, I want them to make good movies. I want right. them to do a good job. But I also yeah. try to remember that they at least have created something. And it's a
yes.
privilege and an
yes.
honor for me to yes. get to critique and to watch whatever it is that they have created.
Yep.
And I always try to remember that.
Yep.
And so even if I really dislike it,
yeah.
I think it's just an important kind of thing to keep in the back of your mind.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it was interesting from mm-hmm. my perspective. Yep. So overall, I thought this was a perfectly serviceable Hallmark movie,
yeah.
but it was a little dry for me and the chemistry wasn't like super great. So I would give this one 3 crowns. What about you, Anne?
Actually, I'm the same. 3 crowns.
Mm-hmm. And what about you, Ruth?
I'll go a 3.25.
Okay. Great. And it was nice to see Luke finally get to play the cello. That was fun.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, cellist. That was nice.
That was cute. That was nice. All right. So then we have the last one we're going to talk about is Deliver by Christmas.
Yes.
And this stars Alvina August
yes.
and Ian Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And it is bakery owner Molly meets Josh, a widower who recently moved to town with his younger son. But she's also charmed by a mysterious client whom she's never met in person, and she doesn't realize that they're the same man. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't know really what to expect about this movie. I think I actually gave it a like pretty high. I think I was a high orange, like a diamond crusted orange in our preview show. Mm-hmm. Because it sounded pretty good, but the writer is a new writer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's two listed. They have a story by Jill Bartlett and then Mike Mariano. And mm-hmm. this is Mike's first Hallmark movie. And I think that I feel like every year there's one movie that comes along or two, one or two, where you're like, this is a fresh voice. This is a fresh look at a Hallmark movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see if more come along this season, but this felt like that for me. This was this year's Miss Christmas, this year's Road to Christmas.
Oh, okay. Yep.
One of those movies that really mm-hmm. stands out as this is a fresh, whether, you know, that was Joao Boakim for Miss Christmas. It was Zach Hugg for Road to Christmas.
Right.
It felt that way to me. This is a fresh new voice in the writing. I mean, I liked the actor. They all did a good job, but it was the writing that was the real star to me. Mm-hmm. I thought this movie was absolutely fantastic. I absolutely loved everything about it.
Yeah.
I think it's just about as good as you can make a Hallmark movie. I really do. I have very few flaws with mm-hmm. it. What did you think, Anne, of this one?
I thought it was really cute. I thought it was refreshing. Mm-hmm. Again, we had another interracial couple, which was great. Mm-hmm. And it was something different, you know, like you said, with the story. And that's just, you know, if you watch all these movies all year long, like we do, you know, it really mm-hmm. stands out when it's something refreshing spin. And so that's really, really appreciated. And I think it really helped, which, you know, we all probably enjoyed it a lot.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Did you agree, Ruth?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I actually, once I found out Elvina was in it, then it already moved to being really high on my list before I even saw it, because Elvina is one. I remember when she came to Hallmark and I had her picked out as one that I knew was just going to make it. I didn't know how it was going to happen, but I just had this idea that she's going to make it. She's going to. And when I saw that she was I've been watching her career grow steadily, and to see her then get to make this Hallmark movie, and then for it to be so different, and I agree, it's different, it's refreshing, it's beautiful, it's diverse, it still has all the charm of a Hallmark movie. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's great.
So I loved her. She was wonderful.
Yeah.
I loved him. He was great.
Yes. Yeah.
I also thought the little boy was so good.
Yes, I agree. Mm-hmm.
He was just adorable, but not in a like cloying way.
Yeah.
He was like authentic. Yeah. He felt like a real kid to me. Mm-hmm. And I just thought he was so cute.
Yeah.
And I even connected with her on a very like visceral level, in the sense that she has this system where she keeps track of all her orders with the post-it notes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And that connected with me, because I'm a very like visual person.
Yeah.
And if I mean, I have it's on my phone,
mm-hmm.
but if most people look at my calendar on my phone, they would be like, what is happening? It is madness.
Yeah.
And, but to me, it makes total sense, because it's all from my head and my creation, you know? And so mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I get it. I get you. I understand.
Yeah,
as a character.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was really good. And I mean, I think that in reality, I think she would have to have some help in this bakery. I think that was maybe the only thing that was like, come on.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Especially maybe at least during the Christmas season.
Right.
I mean, the woman never sleeps.
Yeah. They never sleep at her house.
No.
Yeah.
So it's like, But I loved the military angle of this film, having his ex having been a
yes
lost in combat.
Yes,
that all worked really well. And then making these videos.
Yes. And... Oh my goodness, the end. Yes. That ending. That was so wonderful. That probably like moved the movie up to. I mean, it was already so great, and then that just like put it over the top. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, and I loved the sense that both of them were finally talking to somebody who was listening to them, and that they hadn't experienced that for a long time.
Yeah.
And that because that can not work, like having so much of the movie via text / phone call can be really boring. But you just got the sense that they just had such a connection, and you had such a sense that they were both such good listeners to each other.
Yes.
That it was like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I also loved any time that they met in real around town. It just was so good. And like the whole scene in the ice cream shop.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, right. It was so good.
Yeah.
And he gives her this look that was just so sexy and so like, oh wow. Like you could just tell they were so into each other. It was great.
Yep.
I loved that whole scene at the ice cream.
Oh yeah.
So good.
Yep.
And I just connected to just as somebody who works all day. I mean, even more than, and I'm not saying poor me, I'm privileged to get to do what I do.
Yeah.
But my life is just completely consumed by work. Mm-hmm. More now so than ever before, because I don't have most of the things that kind of took me out of work, like church or going to the movies or, you know, going to book club or spending time with my friend. The things that I had before as sort of a balance are gone. And so it's just work. And so I felt like both of these characters, I could really connect with that with them.
Yeah.
It's just like they love their jobs. They love doing what they're doing.
Yeah.
But it's just, it sort of overtakes their life. I thought it was so well done. And so what did you think, Anne, about sort of Fiona Vroom's character and her and I forget the lead's name, Molly, real like thinking that they that Fiona was dating Jackson, that like the conflict that they brought in, what did you think about that?
I was just like,
not your favorite.
I was just like, I sighed, you know. I'm like, okay, here's the Hallmark movie where they look and then they don't know what's happening and they assume something. I'm like, okay. But I mean, it was a candlelit restaurant. They were looking at each other and laughing, right? We don't let this happen. So I was like, I could understand if she saw that exact moment, but that was kind of a sigh moment. Like, here we go.
I could understand, but also it's kind of like her sister says, you already thought that he was dating his sister.
Yes.
Maybe take a second.
Yeah.
All the information.
Yeah.
They didn't dwell on it too long.
Right. Right.
So that helped a little bit, but yeah, it maybe could have been a little bit better conflict, but. Yeah, and then she doesn't show up when they're gonna meet, and the little boy's all disappointed when he sees Fiona at the
the video place.
And so then they finally have her sister is like, this is ridiculous, I'm going to go get my sister, bring her here. She figures it all out, and then she's there, and I thought the ending, I have to believe that pre-COVID they weren't supposed to be so far away when they're talking, you know, at the ending, but it really worked, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It really goes good. Yep. And so I loved this movie. I think it's truly a perfect movie? No, do I? I don't. But if I'm judging it based on Hallmark movies and other Hallmark movies, mm-hmm. it kind of is. I mean, they to me, mm-hmm. I just absolutely adored it. And so I'm going to give it 5 crowns.
Ooh.
I
oh my God.
Loved it.
Highly
and and I'm not, I could watch it over and over and over again. I thought it was completely charming. I connected to all the themes of it.
Wow.
I loved it. So it was great in my opinion. Ruth, what would you give it?
I would give it a 4.75.
Yeah.
That's still pretty high up there.
Yeah.
Sure. So, yeah.
What about you, Anne? And it's okay. Everybody can have different opinions. Yeah, yeah. We support all opinions on this podcast.
My only problem with this movie is I'm just dying the whole time, which is what they want me to do. I'm just dying mm-hmm. the whole time. Please meet before the last 30 seconds. And I, of course, it's the last 30 seconds. That's the only problem. Is I just wanted to meet here. So I said solid 4, which is still
4. Yeah. That's a good score.
Yeah, that's still good. Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Very good. So yeah, that was my favorite of the bunch, but I'd watch any of these movies over again. I don't think any of them were, all of them got positive scores for me. So
yeah.
So a great start for Hallmark
for
this new year of Christmas movies. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if they keep it up. It's going to be really fun. Let us know if you're listening what you think of these 4 movies, what your favorites are, how many crowns would you give mm-hmm. them. We'd love to hear in the comment section or on Twitter. And Ruth, where can people find you?
People can find me all across social media. You can find me at RuthHill74. That's whether it's Twitter or Facebook, Instagram, and my website is still mydevotionalthoughts.net. It is called Media from the Heart now, but it is still the same link.
Okay, cool. And Anne, what about you?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at awscott21.
Great. And I promised I would give a shout out to our fan Teresa, who has been so supportive of us these last few months. Thank you so much. And if you want a shout out, consider becoming our patron. We are so, 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 so grateful for our patrons. And we try to make it worth your while by behind the scenes opportunities where we do our watch alongs, where you get to hear from writers and directors. And we have a really exciting one coming up with the producer and directors of Two Turtle Doves from last year, which was a big hit. So if you want to participate in that, then sign up and become a patron. It's only $2 a month, and we sure appreciate those who can give that or more. It's very, very, very appreciated. We also have our Facebook group for our patrons. So please check that out. All the information will be in the description section. We also have our merch store, which has tons of festive designs created by artist Jessica Miller and other artists. So please check that out. We are so grateful for any support that you can give the podcast to help us be able to do what we do. And you can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and on Rotten Tomatoes. So please check that out. And you can follow the podcast to Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media. And if you are listening on iTunes, please leave your ratings and reviews. We really need them, especially during this busy, busy time of the year. It helps people to find the podcast, so we appreciate it so much. If you are listening on YouTube, please give this video a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We appreciate that so much. And so thank you again, ladies, for talking about these movies. I really appreciate it. And Merry Christmas. Bye, everyone.
Bye. Thanks. Merry Christmas.